This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. All praise and thanks belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may the peace and blessing of Allah be upon His servant and final messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As to what follows, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I want to begin tonight's lesson with a question. The first question is, are you all pleased with Allah Azza wa Jal as your Lord? Are you all pleased with Islam as your religion? Naam, ayah wallah la. Are you all pleased with the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as being your prophet and messenger? Alhamdulillah and congratulations. Anyone who is pleased with these three matters, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَجَبَتْ لَهُ الْجَنَّةِ. The paradise is guaranteed for him. Most certainly he will enter the paradise. And these three matters that we just spoke about, these are the matters that you will be questioned about in your grave, when a person is put in his grave. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, as in the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, إِذَا قُبِرَ الْمَيِّتُ أَتَاهُ الْمَلَكَانِ أَسْوَدَانِ أَزْرَقَانِ. When a person is put in his grave, two angels come to him. They are black and blue. Other narrations mention that their face is black and their eyes are blue. يُقَالُ لِأَحَدِهِمَا الْمُنْكَرُ وَلِلْآخَرُ النَّكِيرُ. One of them is called Al-Munkar and the other is called Al-Nakir, or Munkar wa Nakir. And they ask him, Man Rabbuk, who is your Lord? He will say, Allahu Rabbi, if it is a believing soul. He'll be asked, Ma Dinuk, what is your religion? He will say, Al-Islamu Dini. And then he'll be asked, Wa Man Nabiyuk, who is your prophet? And he will say, Muhammadun sallallahu alayhi wa sallama nabiyyi. Whoever answers them correctly, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited the ayah, يُثَبِّتُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِالْقَوْلِ الثَّابِتِ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ. Allah Azza wa Jal in Surah Ibrahim, he said that Allah Azza wa Jal will give firmness and strength and steadfastness to those who believe in this worldly life and in the afterlife. What this means is that the believer will be given steadfastness upon these three matters in this life, and he'll be given steadfastness in the afterlife, meaning when he is questioned in the grave, because the grave is the first stage of the afterlife. So the believer, when he is questioned and given these questions, he knows how to answer. Where does he get his firmness and steadfastness from? From Allah Azza wa Jal, يُثَبِّتُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. And of course, these three questions, these three questions are the examination paper. We have it with us today. The examination paper that is coming to each and every single one of us in the grave, we have it with us right now. And these three matters are so important that al-ulama rahimahumullah spent a lot of time explaining them and discussing them and writing books about them and so on. From them, Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah, he wrote a treatise, a short article about these three matters. He called his book Al-Usul al-Thalatha, the three foundational principles. This is what his book is about. This is a book that every Muslim is supposed to read, male and female, and be aware of the content that is within there. He discusses the first fundamental, which is Allah Azza wa Jal. And how do you know Allah Azza wa Jal? How do we recognize Allah? And what does it mean to believe in Allah Azza wa Jal? Then he discusses the second fundamental, and that is Islam as being your deen. What does it mean for you to accept Islam? What does that entail? And then the third matter he discusses is Muhammadun Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Accepting the messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as being a final prophet and a messenger of Allah. What does that mean? And what does that entail? Naam. And so we are to say this dhikr every morning and every evening. And when you say this dhikr, I will share with you the narration, but when we say this dhikr every morning and every evening, you're supposed to be reflecting over the fact that this is the purpose of my whole existence. My entire existence is all about committing to Allah as my Lord and committing to al-Islam as my deen and being pleased with that and committing to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as being a prophet and messenger of mine and being pleased with that. That's the entire purpose of existence. This is what you reflect over as we're going through this lecture and as you read these words in the morning and in the afternoon. Let's begin with the hadith. And this hadith is the proof that this is a dhikr to be said in the morning and in the evening. The hadith is narrated by Abi Salam, rahimahullah. This is a tabi'i. He narrates from a companion. He says, "Kunna qu'udan fi masjid Hims idh marra alayna rajul." This tabi'i Abu Salam was sitting in a masjid in Hims in Syria. And all of a sudden, a man passes by. فَقَالُوا هَذَا خَدَمَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. Some of the gathering noticed him. So they pointed to him and they said, this man here, he served the Messenger صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. Meaning what? Meaning this man, he's a companion. At this time, the companions were rare now. Most of them have died, but he's still alive. This companion was ثوبان ابن بجدد رضي الله عنه. قَالَ فَنَهَبْتُ. Abu Salam says, I quickly got up from the gathering and he rushed to him. فَسَأَلْتُهُ. And he asked him a question. He said to him, حَدِّثْنَا بِمَا سَمِعْتَ مِنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ لَمْ يَتَدَاوَلْهُ الرِّجَالُ فِيمَا بَيْنَكُمَا. He said to him, could you inform me of a hadith that you heard directly from the Messenger صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ and there is no one between you and the Messenger صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. Give us something pure, straight from you heard it directly from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Give it to us, direct. I don't want anyone between you and him. So the companion, Thawban radiallahu anhu, he said to him, سَمِعْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَقُولُ مَا مِنْ عَبْدٍ مُسْلِمٍ يَقُولُ ثَلَاثَ مَرَّاتٍ حِينَ يُمْسِي أَوْ يُصْبِحْ رضيت بالله ربا وبالإسلام دينا وبمحمد صلى الله عليه وسلم نبيا إلا كان حقا على الله أن يرضيه يوم القيامة. He said to him, I heard the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم say, anyone who says three times in the morning and three times in the evening, رضيت بالله ربا وبالإسلام دينا وبمحمد صلى الله عليه وسلم نبيا, the result, the reward is that Allah Azza wa Jal has promised such a person that he will be pleased with him, or Allah Azza wa Jal will please this person on the day of judgment. Allahu Akbar. Huge reward. And so this is the narration that teaches us. This is a legislated dhikr to be said three times in the morning, three times in the evening. Wal hadith sahih, and it was narrated in Musnad al-Imam Ahmad, authenticated by Sheikh Ibn Baz and others. There is another narration that mentions, instead of وَبِ مُحَمَّدٍ نَبِيًّا, the next narration says وَبِ مُحَمَّدٍ رَسُولًا. But this narration specifically, وَبِ مُحَمَّدٍ رَسُولًا, for being a dhikr in the morning and in the evening three times, is weak. It's ضعيف. So as a result, we stay with the authentic wording, and that is وَبِمُحَمَّدٍ نَبِيًّا. That's it. This is the way we're going to say the end of this dhikr, نَبِيًّا. And of course, I've told you before that the adhkar must be taught like the Qur'an. This is how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would teach the wording of the adhkar to the sahaba. So you need to memorize it and say it as it is, without adding any word or removing any word or substituting a word for another. True. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a rasul, a messenger, and he's a nabi, which is a prophet. But in this specific hadith, وَبِ مُحَمَّدٍ نَبِيًّا. And even in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself stressed upon this matter. In the hadith of Al-Bara' ibn Azib, which in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches him a dua to make before he sleeps. It's a long dua. At the end of it, آمنت بكتابك الذي أنزلت وبنبيك الذي أرسلت. So البراء said وبرسولك الذي أرسلت. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم corrected him. He said to him وبنبيك. So then البراء said وبنبيك الذي أرسلت. Even though النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم is a Nabi and a Rasul, a prophet and a messenger. But this is what I told you before. The Adhkar must be memorized like Quran. They are tawqifi, meaning their words are intended for what they are. So don't add, don't remove, and don't substitute. Wallahu alam, in this case here, the most authentic narration is وَبِ مُحَمَّدِ رَضِي وَبِالْإِسْلَامِ دِينَ وَمُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ نَبِيًّا. And they are said, these three sentences are said all together. Now I share with you some ahadith that mention the virtue of these words before we begin explaining this dhikr. One of the virtues in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that anyone who says this dhikr in the morning, that أَنَا الزَّعِيمُ لَأَخُذَنَّ بِيَدِهِ حَتَّى أُدْخِلَهُ الْجَنَّةِ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I guarantee that I will take hold of this person's hand until I admit him and enter him into the paradise. This is a virtue mentioned for this dhikr, for whoever says it in the morning. Another virtue, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this is the hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, radiallahu anhu, it's authentic, that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever said, raditu billahi rabba, wa bil-islami deena, wa bi-muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallama rasoola, then the paradise is guaranteed for him. Now notice, this here narration is speaking about saying these words as a general dhikr, meaning it has nothing to do with the morning or the evening. So if you want to say these words as a general dhikr, any time of the day, any time of the night, then it's permissible. In that case, you will say, وَبِ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ رَسُولًا. So if you're saying it as a general dhikr, not putting it in the morning or the evening, then you say رَسُولًا, right? And this is how we're going to understand these different narrations. But if you're saying it, intending in it morning and evening, and you're saying it in the morning time or the evening time, then three times you will say, and you'll say نَبِيًّا at the end. طيب. In that same narration, when the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that, and he said to Abu Sa'id, whoever says it, the paradise is guaranteed for him. Abu Sa'id radiallahu anhu says, فَعَجِبَ لَهَا أَبُو سَعِيدٍ. He became amazed at what the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. So he said, أَعِدْهَا عَلَيَّ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Please, Ya Rasulullah, repeat these words to me. شوفوا الصحابة, see their eagerness. When they know the reward of something, they are eager to learn it. So Abu Sa'id radiallahu anhu is begging the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, teach me these words again. فالنبي sallallahu alayhi wa sallam فعل. He repeated these words and he taught him this dhikr. Naam, and this narration teaches us why it's always important that if you're teaching a teaching and it has a virtue included with it, teach the virtue as well. Teach the virtue. If the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught the virtue to as-sahaba and they were inspired and motivated to do the deed because of its virtue, then of course we're always in need of the virtue as well. So it's good to share the virtues. Another virtue, and this is why I'm sharing them with you. Another virtue, and this is our fourth one. Abu Mujliz, rahimahullah, from al-Tabi'in. And this narration, he is authentic to him. He said, مَنْ خَافَ مِنْ أَمِيرٍ ظُلْمًا. Anyone who feed the oppression of a leader, of an authority. فَقَالَ رَضِيتُ بِاللَّهِ رَبًّا وَبِالْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا وَبِمُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ نَبِيًّا وَبِالْقُرْآنِ حَكَمًا وَإِمَامًا أَنْجَاهُ اللَّهُ مِنْهُ. Anyone who feed an oppressive leader and said, I am pleased with Allah as my Lord and Islam as my deen and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as my prophet and the Quran as my imam and my legislation, my book, then Allah azza wa jal would save him from the oppressive leader. Even this dhikr also protects you. It protects you from oppression and from harm and from evil of mankind and from al-jinn. In another virtue, number five, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, whoever says this dhikr in the evening, فَقَدْ أَصَابَ حَقِيقَةَ الْإِيمَانِ, then indeed he has أَصَابَ حَقِيقَةَ الْإِيمَانِ, he has absolutely guaranteed for himself iman. Now this narration is weak, and it is very weak, but its meaning is true and it's authentic. Obviously, because al-Iman, yani the foundation of Iman, is that you accept and embrace these three matters. And this is why Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he said, whoever says these three words, these three phrases, and he embraces them in his heart, فَهُوَ مِنَ الصِّدِّيقِينَ, he becomes in the level of a Siddiqeen. And who's above the Siddiqeen? Who's above the Siddiqeen? Al-Shuhada. And above them is Al-Anbiya. Min al-Nabi. No, sorry, you made it wrong. First Al-Nabiyeen, then Al-Siddiqeen, then Al-Shuhada. So those directly under the level of the Anbiya are the Siddiqeen. Those who are truthful and honest and certain with that which they embraced of the truth. Like Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. He is the Imam of as-Siddiqeen. Anyone who said these three words and committed to it became from as-Siddiqeen. Allahu Akbar. This is higher than as-Shuhada. The sixth virtue that is mentioned for these words, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever hears the muadhin and says, وَأَنَا أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهِ وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ رَضِيتُ بِاللَّهِ رَبَّا وَبِمُحَمَّدٍ رَسُولًا وَبِالْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا. Those two are switched. غُفِرَ لَهُ. Allah Azza wa Jal will forgive him. And the correct position to say this dhikr would be after the muadhin says the two testimonies. What are the two testimonies in the adhan? أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ أَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. After he says أَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ, before حَيَّ عَلَى الصَّلَاةِ, the sunnah is for you to say وَأَنَا أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ رَضِيتُ بِاللَّهِ رَبَّا وَبِمُحَمَّدٍ نَبِيًّا وَبِالْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا. Whoever says this, غُفِرَ لَهُ. His sins are forgiven. All his sins are forgiven. Tamam. And this is an authentic hadith, or is it in Sahih Muslim? The seventh virtue that is mentioned for this, or for these words, that النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم said, ذاق طعم الإيمان من رضي بالله ربا وبالإسلام دينا وبمحمد رسولا. That whoever is pleased with Allah as his Lord and Islam as his deen and Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم as his prophet and messenger, then he is the one who will taste the sweetness of Iman. Allahu Akbar. Isn't this the big thing that people continue to complain about? We don't feel this Iman. We struggle with our prayers because we're not feeling that connection and whatever it is that people complain about. This is how you attain the sweetness of Iman and the connection with Allah Azza wa Jal, by being pleased with these three matters. And we're going to discuss how a person can achieve being pleased with these matters. And finally, I share with you two more narrations. These words, these phrases are supposed to be the wasiyah of a believer. They are the will of the believer that he should write in his wasiyah before his death. You know the wasiyah, yeah? What's the wasiyah? What's a wasiyah about? What do you think in a wasiyah? What's written in a wasiyah? Advice. What else? Money. Wealth. This is what, unfortunately, a lot of people think that al wasiyah is all about wealth. Of course, you have to write something about your wealth and if you owe someone and whatever it is, so that the inheritors that come after the dead person know how they're dealing with this person's wealth and estate. But al-wasiyah, this is just a little part of the wasiyah. And money is a little part. The big part of al-wasiyah is your advice. What do you want to advise those after you? So now we have the narration of Rabi'a ibn Khuthaym rahimahullah from among the tabi'een. In his wasiyah, he wrote, he says, هَذَا مَا أَقَرَّ بِهِ رَبِيعُ بْنُ خُثَيْمٍ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ. He said, this is what I testify to. He wrote, he said, this is what I bear witness to. And I make Allah a witness, and Allah is enough as a witness for me. And he wrote in his wasiyah, I am pleased with Allah as my Lord, and Islam as my religion, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as my prophet. This is a phrase you're supposed to write in your wasiyah. And we have another, Abu Bishr from among al-Tabi'een as well. He wrote in his wasiyah, he wrote, هَذَا مَا أَوْصَى بِهِ جَعْفَرُ بْنُ إِيَاسٍ أَوْصَى أَنَّهُ يَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَأَنَّ السَّاعَةَ آتِيَةٌ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهَا وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَبْعَثُ مَنْ فِي الْقُبُورِ إِنِّي رَضِيتُ بِاللَّهِ رَبًّا وَبِالْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا وَبِمُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ نَبِيًّا. على ذلك أحيا وعليه أموت وعليه أبعث. وأوصى أهله ومن ترك بعده أن يتقوا الله عز وجل حق تقاته ولا يموتن إلا وهم مسلمون. شوف, this is his wasiyya. Before the money and before all of that, he wrote in his wasiyya that I bear witness that Allah is one to be worshipped and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger. And that the hour is approaching, there is no doubt in this, is what he believes. And that everyone will be resurrected from his grave. And that I am pleased with Allah as my Lord and Islam as my deen and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as my prophet. Upon this I live and upon this I die and upon this I shall be resurrected. And then he wrote, I advise my family that they fear Allah azza wa jal in the manner he deserves to be feared and that they do not die except in a state of Islam. Finished. هذه وصية. Write this in your will and keep it with you so that when you die, these words are written. These words that you wrote are read to those of your family and your friends so that they know what wasiyya you're giving after your death. Even from all these narrations now, we learn the virtue of these incredible words. Allahu Akbar. Have you heard any virtue like this? Subhanallah. Allah Azza wa Jal will please him on the day of judgment. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will take by his hand until he enters the paradise. The paradise is guaranteed for him. His sins are forgiven if it's said after the adhan. He's saved from oppression if he says it in front of an oppressive ruler. You'll taste the sweetness of iman. And this is the wasiyah of the believers. MashaAllah. Even this is very important for us to focus on this dhikr. Now let's go back to the original narration. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَا مِنْ عَبْدٍ مُسْلِمٍ. There is not a single Muslim slave. This includes man and woman, right? Old and young, rich and poor. Whether a person has a large amount of sins or whether he has a little amount of sins, no matter what the situation is, if it is a Muslim. And then he says these words, يَقُولُ ثَلَاثَ مَرَّاتٍ حِينَ يُمْسِي وَحِينَ يُصْبِحُ. Says it three times in the morning, three times in the evening. We mentioned the reward that Allah Azza wa Jal guarantees that he will give him until that person is pleased. What are these words now? Let's look at them. He says, رَضِيتُ بِاللَّهِ رَبَّا. I am pleased with Allah as my Lord. This means that I am pleased with worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal and none other than him. And I worship him with absolute conviction and certainty. An-Nawawi rahimahullah, when he explained the word raditu, he said, when someone is pleased with something, it means you are convinced by it, and you are satisfied with it, and you do not seek anything else. This is ar-rida. This is how you reach the level of rida. When you are convinced, يعني انت, when you say رَضِيْتُ بِاللَّهِ رَبَّا, I am pleased with Allah as my Lord, then that means there's three things inside of you. Number one, you're absolutely convinced and you're not in doubt whatsoever. And you're satisfied with this matter. And you don't seek anything other than your Lord being Allah Azza wa Jal. خلاص, and I don't want anything else. The one who accepts Allah as his Lord, but is seeking other than that, he did not reach the level of al-rida, the level of being pleased with Allah Azza wa Jal as his Lord. Wal-rida, my brothers and sisters in Islam, is the highest form of expressing your love to Allah Azza wa Jal. And you know now, when someone loves Allah Azza wa Jal, how do you express your love to Allah? Today, if you loved someone, what do we say? أُحِبُّكَ فِي اللَّهِ, right? I love you for the sake of Allah. These are the words I use. But now when you love Allah Azza wa Jal, how do you express that? Do you say, أُحِبُّكَ يَا Allah? There's higher than this. You say, رَضِيْتُ بِاللَّهِ رَبَّا. The word رَضِيْتُ بِاللَّهِ رَبَّا is an expression of how much you love Allah Azza wa Jal. This is what it is. Because الرضا is the highest form of love. There is nothing above الرضا. When your parents say, I am pleased with you, this is the nth degree of love. But with Allah Azza wa Jal, it is most complete. This is what رَضِيْتُ بِاللَّهِ رَبًّا is. It's an expression of your love that you have appointed for yourself Allah Azza wa Jal as being your Lord, and you are pleased with this and you're not looking for anything else. When you say رَضِيتُ بِاللَّهِ رَبًّا, you're pleased with Allah as your Lord, it entails a couple of things. It includes a couple of things. Number one, that you are pleased that Allah Azza wa Jal is your creator, because this is what Ar-Rabb is, Al-Khaliq. You're pleased with Him as your creator. So when you sit down and say رَضِيتُ بِاللَّهِ رَبًّا, think that I am pleased with Allah as my creator. I am absolutely pleased with how Allah created me. This is included. You can't be saying رَضِيتُ بِاللَّهِ رَبًّا and then in the next hour you have a Botox appointment or a fillers appointment or a nose job. Huh? Let me know how. رَضِيتُ بِاللَّهِ رَبًّا entails that you are pleased with Allah Azza wa Jal in the creation He gave you. Because this is what رَبًّا means. It entails that He's your creator. If you complain about the way you're created, then there is deficiency in you being pleased with Allah as your Rabb. The second matter is that you believe Allah Azza wa Jal is Ar-Raziq. He's the one who provides and sustains you. So the one who complains about his provision, then he has deficiency in the fact that he is pleased with Allah as his Lord. رَضِيتُ بِاللَّهِ رَبًّا, meaning you are absolutely pleased with whatever rizq Allah Azza wa Jal gives you. If it's minimal, if it's a lot, doesn't matter. It all came from Allah Azza wa Jal. Then, this is three and four together. Being pleased with Allah as your Lord includes that you believe and you are pleased with the fact that He caused your life and caused your death. So that now, during your life, you do not complain. And when someone dies and you lose a family member, you do not complain as well. Because since you said, I am pleased with you as my Lord, then part of the job of the Lord is that He causes life and death. So if He took someone's life away, or gave life to someone, or continued to extend your life, you have no complaints at all. Because I am pleased with you as being a Lord. And from the activity of the Lord is that He causes life and death. And the final matter on this meaning of Rabb is the one who decrees all your affairs and matters. So if you're pleased with Allah as being your Lord, meaning you are pleased with every decree that He has decreed for you, because this is the activity of Ar-Rabb. He's the one who decrees all affairs and matters. So if Allah Azza wa Jal decreed for you poverty or sickness, or you were never granted a child in your life, or you never married and you were never given a spouse in your life, or let's say you lived single all your life, or you failed an exam, or you lost a job, or any calamity it is. But to be true to the word, رَضِيتُ بِاللَّهِ رَبَّا, I am pleased with Allah as my Lord. Then this is what it entails. Huh? A lot of things. This is why Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah said these are easy words and they're the most difficult thing to live by. Also, رَضِيتُ بِاللَّهِ رَبَّا entails that you worship Allah alone and no one but Him. And that you believe to Him belongs the best and most perfect and beautiful names and attributes. This is all from رَضِيتُ بِاللَّهِ رَبَّا. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah, he said, being pleased with Allah Azza wa Jal includes that you are pleased and satisfied with loving Him alone and no one else, and fearing Him alone and no one else, and hoping in His mercy and reward and no one else, and turning to Him and no one else, and being sincere to Him and no one else. This is also included in the meanings of رَضِيتُ بِاللَّهِ رَبَّا. If you are pleased with Allah as your Lord, then Allah Azza wa Jal is pleased with you. That's the effect. If you are pleased and you are truly pleased with Allah Azza wa Jal, this is a means in how you earn Allah Azza wa Jal's pleasure. Anyone who worships others besides Allah Azza wa Jal and says رَضِيتُ بِاللَّهِ رَبَّا is a liar. Anyone who makes dua to other than Allah, prays to other than Allah, and he says رَضِيتُ بِاللَّهِ رَبَّا, he's a liar. And there are some people, وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ, they are pleased with a stone as being their Rabb. Some people are pleased with a cow as being his Rabb, or a monkey, or the sun and the moon, or the stars. Some people are pleased with their own bodies as being their Rabb. And that's the one who worships his desire. And some are pleased with Isa alayhi salam as being their Lord. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. And so, why am I saying this to you? Because when you say in the morning and in the evening, رَضِيتُ بِاللَّهِ رَبَّا, be grateful. Be grateful that Allah Azza wa Jal has freed you from the worship of other than Him. When you sit and you say, رَضِيتُ بِاللَّهِ رَبَّا, be grateful. And reflect. There are millions right now. They don't accept Allah as their Lord. They've rather accepted a cow and a monkey and something else as being their Lord. Fanta, as you sit and you repeat it three times, with all the meanings I already shared with you, in addition to that, you're grateful that Allah Azza wa Jal has saved you from taking a Lord besides Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, so now my brothers and sisters in Islam, when you say رَضِيتُ بِاللَّهِ رَبَّا and you acknowledge that you are pleased with Allah as being your Lord, and you're convinced and you're certain with no doubt, and you're satisfied with Allah as your Lord, and you don't want to replace Him with anyone else, now you're going to be tested. Now you will be tested. Well, this is the practice of Allah Azza wa Jal among His slaves. Anyone who stood strong and said, Allah is my Lord, Allah tests him to see, is this person, is he actually true in his claim or he's not? Right? Then Allah Azza wa Jal say, أَحَسِبَ النَّاسَ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يَفْتَنُونَ. Did the people assume that they can say, Amanna, we said La ilaha illallah, Raditu billahi rabba, and they will not be tested? Then it's not going to happen. You will most surely be tested. Look at the case of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Didn't Ibrahim alayhi salam express the fact that he is pleased with Allah as his Lord? In Surah Al-Shu'ara, what did Ibrahim say when he faced his people? He said to them, Alladhi khalaqani fahuwa yahdeen. Allah is the one who created me and He guides me. وَالَّذِي هُوَ يُطْعِمُنِي وَيَسْقِينَ. Allah is the one who feeds me and provides me drink. وَإِذَا مَرِضْتُ فَهُوَ يَشْفِينَ. And if I was to fall sick, it is Allah who cures me. وَالَّذِي يُمِيتُنِي ثُمَّ يُحْيِينَ. And it is Allah who caused my life and causes my death. وَالَّذِي أَطْمَعُ أَن يَغْفِرَ لِي خَطِيئَتِي يَوْمَ الدِّينِ. And it is Allah who I have hope that He will forgive me. You see, Allah, 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 He does all this, He does all this. This is saying, رَضِيتُ بِاللَّهِ رَبَّا. Then what happened afterwards? Allah just left him. Allah tested him. How did He test him? With his family. Put him in a desert and walk away. Yalla. Put him in a desert and walk away. That's a test. Didn't you say you believe in Allah? Didn't you say Allah created you and guides you and causes your life and death and provides for you water and drink and food and whatever it is? Huh? All right, yallah. Leave your family in the desert and go. And he passed. And the second test was even worse than this. And much more intense and difficult. And that is that Allah would command him to slaughter his son. So what I'm trying to say too, is that anyone who's going to sit there and claim with strength and power, with his tongue and his heart, saying رَضِيتُ بِاللَّهِ رَبَّا, then you will be tested. Don't be upset. Do not be upset. Do not say, oh Allah, I said it with all conviction. I said it with all my heart. I loved you so much. I said رَضِيتُ بِاللَّهِ رَبَّا. Why are you now testing me with all these tests? Here Shaytan is going to come and he's going to weaken your iman and your relationship with Allah. Don't be fooled. I'm telling you now. Allah Azza wa Jalla has told us 1,400 years ago. Anyone who says, رَضِيتُ بِاللَّهِ رَبَّا, some big tests are coming. But we don't wish for them, right? We already mentioned this in our previous lectures. We don't wish for them. Rather, we're supposed to be asking Allah, protect us from calamities in our health, in our wealth, in our family, in our children, protect us in our bodies, in our hearing, in our sight. We want protection all over. But if the test comes, this is not a sign that Allah hated you. This is a sign that Allah is testing you. If you're patient and you passed, congratulations, you become from awliya'illahi azza wa jal. You become from the friends of Allah azza wa jal. If you failed, then you are a liar in what you claimed of رَضِيتُ بِاللَّهِ رَبَّا. Don't be fooled. This is very important to understand. And so this is why, the next word in this dhikr is what? وَبِالْإِسْلَامِ دِينَ. Meaning, I am also pleased with Islam as my religion. And Islam means what? Islam comes from the word istislam, which means submission. Meaning, I am going to submit to everything that you command me to do and to everything you decree upon me. If Allah Azza wa Jal decreed for you sickness, I submit to it. Meaning I accept it, that it came from Allah Azza wa Jal, and I am happy and pleased with it and I'm satisfied. This is what it means. This is why وَبِالْ إِسْلَامِ دِينًا came after رَضِيتُ بِاللَّهِ رَبَّا. طيب. Let's now discuss وَبِالْ إِسْلَامِ دِينًا. وَبِالْ إِسْلَامِ دِينًا also means وَرَضِيتُ بِالْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا. But the verb is not repeated, but it's assumed. I am pleased with Islam as my deen, as my way of life. First question is, why is the believer pleased with Islam as his deen? Why? Why are you convinced? Why are you satisfied? And why does the believer not want anything except Islam? Very simple. Because Allah Azza wa Jal said, إِنَّ الدِّينَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الْإِسْلَامِ. Because the chosen religion with Allah Azza wa Jal is Islam. That's why we are pleased with Islam as our deen. It is the deen that Allah has selected. Also, Allah Azza wa Jal said, وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا. I am pleased with Islam as your deen. So why are you pleased with Islam as being your deen? Your answer is because Allah is pleased with Islam as a religion to be followed. Why am I going to follow something that Allah is not pleased with? Also, I am pleased with Islam as my deen because Allah Azza wa Jal said, وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِي غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْهِ وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. Allah Azza wa Jal says, anyone who embraces other than Islam as his deen, nothing will be accepted from him on the Day of Judgment. Doesn't matter how much good he did. Rather, in addition to this, وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. And in the afterlife, he'll be from among those that are the losers in the hellfire. So I am pleased with Islam as my deen because other than Islam is not accepted. Other than Islam is going to lead me to the hellfire and being from among the losers. So what other choice does the believer have? It's not like we're forced in this choice, but at the same time, this is the choice that I want because this is what Allah is pleased with. And I'll take whatever Allah is pleased with. This is the direction of Allah, the guidance of Allah to mankind. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. I am pleased with Islam as my deen because all the prophets were Muslims and they had embraced this religion as well. We have Yusuf alayhi salam saying, Tawaffani Muslima, my Lord, cause my death as a Muslim. We also have the children of Ya'qub, they say, وَنَحْنُ لَهُ مُسْلِمُونَ. We are Muslims. We submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, we also have Musa alayhi salam saying, وَقَالَ مُوسَى يَا قَوْمِ إِن كُنْتُمْ آمَنْتُمْ بِاللَّهِ فَعَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلُوا إِن كُنْتُمْ مُسْلِمِينَ. Every single prophet was a Muslim. Every prophet was a Muslim. The only thing that differed was their sharia, their way of law, and how they would pray, how they would fast, how they would give zakat and hajj and so on. That's all that differed. But the concept of submitting to Allah and everything that came from Allah, this was with every prophet. And this, of course, we said Islam is the religion that Allah legislated for all mankind. And all previous religions have been distorted and changed. They are not pure anymore. So what's the purpose and the goodness in following them? Nothing at all. My brothers and sisters in Islam, being pleased with Islam as your religion means that you are pleased with all the laws and commandments of Allah Azza wa Jal, with all the halal and the haram, with all the obligations and all the prohibitions, all of them. Whether they are difficult upon you or not, whether you understand them or not, full submission to Allah Azza wa Jal's religion, even if it's against your desire, or against your parents, or against your society, if you're pleased with Islam as your religion, then you're happy with every law that Allah Azza wa Jal has sent, no matter who talks you out of it, or who criticizes it, whether it's your parents, your society, whatever it is. Islam is above all. And so this is what you're supposed to put as a preference. Today, Today, some Muslims leave Islam for atheism and for other beliefs and other religions. Why? Why? Because such a person is not convinced. Something doesn't make sense to him in Islam. He's not convinced about the religion. Such people are not pleased with Islam as their deen. Some of them say, Wallah, I left Islam. I wasn't pleased with this as a religion because how can Islam condone slavery? How can Islam accept slavery? Wallah, I left Islam because I feel like it's a misogynistic religion. There's hatred upon the woman. This deen is not fair with a woman. How can the blood money of a man be 100 camels and the blood of a woman be 50 camels? And I'm not pleased with this. This doesn't sound right. Doesn't make sense. There's no logic behind it. So I'm not pleased with Islam as my religion. Heck, this is people's words today, wallah. And they leave Islam altogether. And this is no doubt ignorance. Ignorance. يعني, the issue of slavery, so we can clarify something here. What's the problem? If Islam accepts the system of slavery, what's the issue? Say, how can a religion claim rights over other, claim ownership over others? What's this deen? We say, look, Islam came and it abolished all oppressive forms of slavery. There used to be oppressive forms. If you owed me money, you didn't pay back on time, I took you as a slave. All of this was abolished, it was removed. Islam removed all of this. Otherwise, slavery was practiced among the people. Islam left only one type of slavery that is permissible. And that is which slavery? Slavery after a battle. After a war, the captives, those who surrender at the time, after the battle, you're allowed to take them. But look at this. Wallahi, it is from mercy. It is from the mercy of Allah and Islam that there is this system of slavery. You know, back in the past, when the disbelievers would come out to fight the believers, the disbelievers would come out with everything. They would come out with their women and their children and their property and their sheep and their donkeys and their camels and everything. All their wealth, they would come out with it. Why? This was them showing that, listen, we're here to fight for all of this. Our wealth, our wives, our children, everything we own is right behind us. So where are we going to go? This is how they used to motivate themselves to continue fighting. We're fighting for all of this. We're going nowhere. And the woman, they used to come dressed up. The woman, they used to dress back in a beautiful fashion. Why? Because when the war is over and the disbelievers have died, these women, where are they going to go? Where are they going to go? Where? Go back to their homes? Where their men are all dead? Who's going to look after them? Who's going to feed them? Who will provide for them? Who will protect them? Islam legislated the system of slavery as a mercy for these people. And the woman would come prepared because they know if our husband, our father, our brother died, well, khalas, we'll go with these people. And no one had a perfect system of how to treat a slave other than Islam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say, إِخْوَانُكُمْ خَوَانُكُمْ جَعَلَهُمُ اللَّهُ تَحْتَ أَيْدِيكُمْ, that your slaves are like your brothers. Treat them with fairness and kindness. Whoever Allah azza wa jal gifts a slave, then feed him from that which you eat, and give him drink from that which you drink, and clothe him from what you clothe. And do not give them, do not burden them with work that they're not able to do. And if you give them a huge load of work, then help them. فَأَعِنُوهُمْ. Oh, a system, a beautiful system. So what's the problem with slavery in Islam? Allah, nothing. We shut their mouth when they hear this kind of explanation. What oppression is there in Islam when we say that Islam condoned slavery and accepted slavery? What's the issue? What do we do with those women and those children that are on the battlefield and all their wealth is with them and all their men have died? What do they do? Then this is a mercy in Islam, a beautiful teaching in Islam. And the other issue that we said, people are leaving Islam, complaining that Islam is a misogynistic religion. One of the things they bring up is, how can the blood money of a man be 100 camels and the woman 50 camels? If you know, the woman is worth 50 camels, and the blood of a man that is more expensive is worth 100 camels. Stupidity, once again. It had nothing to do with what your blood is worth or not. Now think of this. The man, blood money, is 100 camels. If the man died, his blood is what? How many camels?
100.
Who does that wealth go to? His wife and children. Like if the woman died, what's her blood money? 50. Who does it go to? The husband, because the husband's in a position of work already, so he doesn't need 100. 50 is enough for him. But the blood money of a man was 100. This is in the benefit of a woman and her family. She'll be taking 100 camels, not him. He won't be taking it to the grave with him. This is not the value of a person's blood. Khalas, very simple, we solved it. And people left Islam because of this. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. Now, and I absolutely love an ayah in the Quran that Allah Azza wa Jal, in how He concludes it. Absolute beauty in how it teaches you how a believer's attitude should be when accepting whatever comes from Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah Azza wa Jal, He says in Surah Al-Ma'idah, listen to this. Just let, يعني, taste this ayah. Allah Azza wa Jal, He says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَوْفُوا بِالْعُقُودِ. This is the first ayah in Surah Al-Ma'idah. Allah Azza wa Jal, He says, O you who believe, fulfill your obligations. أَوْفُوا بِالْعُقُودِ. وَحِلَّتْ لَكُمْ بَهِيمَةُ الْأَنْعَامِ إِلَّا مَا يُتْلَى عَلَيْكُمْ غَيْرَ مُحِلِّ الصَّيْدِ وَأَنْتُمْ حُرُمْ. Allah Azza wa Jal, He says, livestock, cows and sheep and goats and all that, livestock is lawful for you as food. It's halal, you can eat it. Except what I'm about to say to you, إِلَّا مَا يُتْلَى عَلَيْكُمْ. Because two ayat later, Allah will mention to us what's haram of eating. And then He says, and also, haram, add to that list, the list is coming, but then He adds another one here, غَيْرَ مُحِلِّ الصَّيْدِ وَأَنْتُمْ حُرُمٌ. And also, it is haram and it's forbidden for you to hunt while you're in a state of ihram. Then the ayah concludes, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَحْكُمُ مَا يُرِيدُ. Allah Azza wa Jal, He legislates whatever He wants. Heck, whatever He wants. How can you got nothing to do with it? He said to you, livestock is halal, except I'm going to mention to you what's haram. And add to that as well, if you're in a state of ihram, don't hunt. And add at the end, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَحْكُمُ مَا يُرِيدُ. Heck, I put it in front of your face. Allah legislates what He wants. You have nothing in the matter. You have no opinion in the matter. What are you going to say in that? What do you have? What do you want to question? And then if you question, who do you want the answer from? Who? Yeah, you want Allah Azza wa Jal to give you an answer? Who are you, Aslan? Who are you to stand before the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal and say, this doesn't make sense. This doesn't have a logical understanding. Sorry, but in science we learn 1, 2, 3. This in Islam doesn't make sense. This is what people are offering today. And this is their excuse for why they're not pleased with Islam as their deen. And as you sit in the morning and the evening and say, رَضِيْتُ بِاللَّهِ رَبَّا وَبِالْإِسْلَامِ دِينَ, you say, Alhamdulillah, that Allah Azza wa Jal has saved you from these doubts, from this evil corruption and deviance and misguidance. Now, يعني subhanAllah, and also reflect over the fact that one day Umar رضي الله عنه, he came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said to him, Ya Rasulullah, إِنِّي مَرَرْتُ بِأَخٍ لِي مِنْ قُرَيْضَةٍ. I walked past a Jew, a brother, a Jew of mine. I walked past him. وَكَتَبَ لِي جَوَامِعَ مِنَ التَّوْرَاتِ. And this Jewish man, he compiled a book for me, and within this book there are verses from التَّوْرَاةِ. التَّوْرَاةِ is the book that was revealed unto Musa عليه السلام. أَفَلَا أَعْرِضُهَا عَلَيْكَ. شوف عمر رضي الله عنه is saying to النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, can I show you this book? Can I present to you this book so you can see what's in it? فَتَغَيَّرَ وَجْهُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم's face started to change. He became angry and frustrated with what Umar radiallahu anhu is saying. What's Umar saying? Listen, he's getting angry. والصحابة radiallahu anhum are saying, ألا ترى ما بوجه رسول الله? Can't you see what you did with the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Then Umar radiallahu anhu said, رضيت بالله ربا وبالإسلام دينا وبمحمد sallallahu alayhi wa sallam نبيا فسري عن النبي sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's face began to cool down, and it went from that angry state into a peaceful, happy state. These are words that pleased the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and settled him. Then the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Umar, وَالَّذِي نَفْسُ مُحَمَّدٍ بِيَدِهِ. He swore by Allah Azza wa Jal, لَوْ أَصْبَحَ فِيكُمْ مُوسَى. If Musa alayhi salam tomorrow morning woke up from his grave and he was sitting among us and walking among Musa, the one who Allah spoke to, If he next morning woke and walked among us, ثُمَّ اتَّبَعْتُمُوهُ, and you people went and followed him, وَتَرَكْتُمُونِي, and he's left me on the side, لَضَلَلْتُمْ, all of you would have become misguided and deviated. Subhanallah. يعني النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم is saying to Umar, throw this book away. خلاص, there's no benefit in reading the Bible and the Torah today. There's no benefit. This is why the ulama rahimahumullah warned from reading other than Islam. Do not read any other belief. No Bible, no Torah, no philosophy book, no anything that calls to other than Islam, any belief system, any whatever it is that has nothing to do in Islam. Do not read it so that you do not expose yourself to doubts. How do you think people leave Islam? They leave it because they fall into doubts. How did they fall into the doubt? They took upon themselves to read other than Islamic material, and they lost it. The exception here, ulama gave, except a person who is an expert in Islamic teachings and fundamentals, and he would like to look at the Torah and the Bible so that he can use it in his da'wah against the disbelievers. That's an exception. Go and read, because he's going to use it as an attack. He's going to use it as knowledge against those who are worshipping other than Allah in hope that they see the flaws and the faults in it, and perhaps they rectify their way and embrace Islam. If it's not in that intention, there's no issue now. My brothers and sisters in Islam, Allah, يعني, when we read, when we say, وَبِالْ إِسْلَامِ دِينَ, there is a scary matter indeed, and that is that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, يدرس الإسلام كما يدرس وشي الثوب حتى لا يدرى ما الصيام ولا الصلاة ولا النسك ولا الصدقة. This is the scary matter. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says that the Islam itself will fade away, and it will be forgotten, and it will be neglected. Islam will fade away in the same manner that embroidery that is on clothing fades away. You know, if you had clothing and you have this type of typing on it, text on it, whatever, as you wash it, you continuously wash it, begins to fade away. Hak al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the teachings of a deen are going to slowly and slowly fade away at the end of time. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the point where no one would know, or people would not know what fasting is. They would not know what salat is. They won't know what al-hajj is. They won't know what as-sadaqah is. People won't know. Add to the list as well. How many things do we have today? People don't even know what the Islamic dress code is. Women don't even know what the proper hijab is. They come up with something called a burkini, and they call it an Islamic swimwear. And then if you say a word against it, that it is haram and it is a satanic, devilish clothing, wallah, everyone, they get up and have a khada. This is Islamic. What do you want us to wear? Ya lil asaf. See how Islam has faded away? See how Islam has faded in this aspect here, especially in the clothing industry. I believe almost half of it is faded away, gone. This is a problem. There's no doubt it's a problem. How many Muslims fall into shirk and they have no clue that this is shirk, with the blue eye that goes around and put in their cars and put in their businesses and so on, believing it'll give them a protection? Islam is fading away. How many people consume al-riba and haram wealth, and they say, well, I don't know, I got a fatwa, I heard a fatwa from somewhere. Hey, then Islam is fading away. How many Muslims support the LGBT community or whoever they are? Hey, they support that community and they believe that these people have a right to behave and act the way they act. Hada, where's al-Islam? يدرس الإسلام. Islam is fading away slowly and slowly. وَإِنَّ لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. And the greatest of all, how many people, they come from their homelands and they settle in Western lands, whether it's here or wherever it is. And over the days, over the weeks, over the months, they become impressed and blown away by that which they see in the Western world. They are blown away by the technology they see in the Western world, by the democracy they see in the Western world, by the law and the legislation, by the medicine, the advancement, the science, the research, by the infrastructure that is in the Western world, to the point where after a few months, they begin to praise the Western world and its lifestyle. And they begin to attach themselves to it. I can't go back to my country anymore. Khalas, that's it, I've settled. Isn't that the case? This is what happens to people. And I tell you something as a fact, yes, the Western world offers a more comfortable, easier life, no doubt, when it's compared to other parts of the world. Take the good from it. There's no problem in this, right? We're using technology. وَعَلَّمَ الْإِنسَانَ مَا لَمْ يَعْلَمْ. No problems. Take the good of it. But the Muslim needs to know. He must know that the purpose of this life is not enjoyment. The Western world, their mindset in everything they develop and make is a pure enjoyment. خلاص, they don't have anything else because they don't believe in resurrection. It's a pure enjoyment. So don't get caught up in this. Because the more you're caught up in this, they're selling you their idea. They are selling you their belief. And that is that world is an enjoyment. And this is why when people leave Islam and turn to atheism, now we know why. Because you've been sold on their plan. You have the belief like them. They're the ones that don't believe in resurrection, and they're the ones that don't believe in any questioning before Allah on the Day of Judgment. All this is fabrication and fairy tales and stories. Even see the issue. يَدْرُسُ الْإِسْلَامِ Islam is fading away. My brothers and sisters in Islam, worldly life, the purpose is to worship Allah, not enjoyment. You can enjoy, heck on the side. وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا Allah says, don't forget your worldly part. Play your worldly one, obviously on the earth. You need to have some time of enjoyment and so on, but it needs to be in accordance to the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal and what Allah Azza wa Jal is pleased with. But relax and understand that the great enjoyment is in the afterlife. Allah Azza wa Jal reserved the enjoyment of the believer in the paradise. They're there, the paradise, that there, the purpose of it is enjoyment. And it is complete enjoyment from the time you step foot until, khalas, that's it, you're there forever. Eternal enjoyment there. And so don't rush your enjoyment here. Do not rush it. And I want to share with you a small story from the Quran so you can understand how you're supposed to view the Western world. How your attitude towards the Western world should be. Listen to this story. Learn from a bird. A bird. Learn from a bird. Which bird? Anyone know? Allahu Akbar. The bird of Sulaiman. Let's see the bird of Sulaiman. Sulaiman alayhi salam, a prophet of Allah, and his father is a prophet as well. Dawood alayhi salam. These are two prophets that Allah Azza wa Jal blessed them with unique blessings and gifts. One of them was وَعَلِّمْنَا مَنْطِقَ الطَّيْرِ. They were taught the language of the bird. Sulaiman could speak to birds and he could understand the language of the bird when it spoke. And the birds were a part of his army. So Allah Azza wa Jal, he says, one day Sulaiman alayhi salam was taking off as a king. You take off and you've got your army and you conquer land. This is what a king does. And along the travels, he stops and he is checking his army. So he checks the birds. وَتَفَقَّدَ الطَّيْرِ He's checking up on the birds. فَقَالَ مَا لِيَ لَا أَرَى الْهُدْهُدْ What a great leader. From among the birds, he saw and realized there's a bird missing. The hudhud. The hoopoe, it's called. That's the bird, hudhud. فَقَالَ مَا لِيَ لَا أَرَى الْهُدْهُدْ Why can't I see the hudhud? Where is he? أَمْ كَانَ مِنَ الْغَائِبِينَ Where is he? Is he present? Is he absent? Where is he gone? Anyway, he threatened him. لَأُعَذِّبَنَّهُ عَذَابًا شَدِيدًا أَوْ لَأَذْبَحَنَّهُ أَوْ لَأَتِينِي بِسُلْطَانٍ مُبِينٍ Wallah, I'm going to severely punish him and torture him if I see him. Or I might even just slaughter him and kill him, get rid of him. Or he better come with some huge, great, certain news. A few moments later, not a long time later, Allah, this bird rocks up, it's flying back. He comes into where the army was, joins it back in, and he comes to Sulaiman alayhi salam, and he says to him, وَجِئْتُكَ مِنْ سَبَأٍ بِنَبَأٍ يَقِينٍ He said, wait, I've come with absolute certain news from Sabah. Sabah is where modern day Yemen is. He comes and he says to him, I've got some important news, listen to me. He says, إِنِّي وَجَدْتُ مْرَأَةً تَمْلِكُهُمْ وَأُوْتِيَتْ مِنْ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ I found that there was a woman in authority over them. There's a woman leader, she's a queen. Her name is Balqis. وَأُوْتِيَتْ مِنْ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ And she has been given from all kinds of things. It's like a Western developed world. She's got everything. Technology, advancement, science, medicine. Man, this is like a Western world. This is a bird went to a Western world and saw what there is of advancements in technology. وَلَهَا عَرْشٌ عَظِيمٌ And she has a mighty throne, a huge throne. But then listen to what this bird says. He doesn't say, Wallahi, ya Sulaiman, listen, I'm going to go take up citizenship. And I'm going to go reside among them. Because it's, they got better than what we have. Nah. The bird was quick to pick out, even though there is some amazing things there. But what is all this compared to what he's going to say now? He said, إِنِّي وَجَدْتُ مَرَأَةً تَمْلِكُهُمْ وَأُتِيَتْ مِنْ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَلَهَا عَرْشٌ عَظِيمٌ وَجَدْتُهَا وَقَوْمَهَا يَسْجُدُونَ لِلشَّمْسِ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ وَزَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ أَعْمَالَهُمْ فَصَدَّهُمْ عَنِ السَّبِيلِ فَهُمْ لَا يَهْتَدُونَ. The bird said, I found them prostrating to the sun instead of Allah. Shuf, what the bird is recognizing, doesn't care about the advancement. If people have shirk and kufr and misguidance and deviance in their belief, in their sexuality, what's the goodness in that? What is the goodness in this? You're leaving al-Islam for this. And what's the thing that motivated and inspired you? Hag, a few colors that came outside and you saw just a bit of flashy dunya that they have brought of advancement and technology and you were deceived by that. Shaytan said, وَزَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ أَعْمَالَهُمْ. A shaytan had decorated their deeds for them. He showed them the sun, told them, look at this sun, look how huge it is. It existed way before you people were born. It's going to remain way after you die. It gives you heat, it gives you light. You can walk on earth. It's got to be your Lord. Worship it. And they worshipped it. وَزَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ فَصَدَّهُمْ عَنِ السَّبِيلِ. As a result, he led them astray from the correct path. فَهُمْ لَا يَهْتَدُونَ. And they were not guided people. The Hudhud goes on to say, أَلَّا يَسْجُدُوا لِلَّهِ الَّذِي يُخْرِجُ الْخَبَأَ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَيَعْلَمُ مَا تُخْفُونَ وَمَا تُعْلِنُونَ. اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ رَبُّ الْعَرْشِ الْعَظِيمِ. And the Hudhud is questioning, why? Why don't these people worship the one who brings out what is hidden in the heavens and the earth? Like, you know, the seed and how it sprouts and a tree comes out or grass comes out. It was hidden. Allah brought it out. And it is Allah who brings out what is hidden in the heavens, and that's the rain and the mercy and whatever Allah sends down from the sky that is hidden that we don't see. And He knows ما تخفون وما تعلنون. Why do they prostrate to this one? The one who knows what they conceal in their hearts, in their minds, and what they make apparent. Allahu la ilaha illa hu. Allah, there is no Lord worthy of worship except Him. Rabbul Arsh al-Azim. And He is the Lord of the mighty throne. She had a big throne, but He is the Lord of the bigger throne. The Western world has. But Allah Azza wa Jal owns it all. It is Allah Azza wa Jal's property, it's His belonging. Lahul mulk, as Allah Azza wa Jal says. Then the idea is, look how much are we going to learn from this bird? The bird saw what there is of advancement in another country. But yes, it looked good. There was a lot of advancement. But compare this to a shirk they have. There's nothing. Khalas. All of it is gone to waste. What's it going to benefit you on the Day of Judgment? What is all this advancement and science and research and what's it going to benefit you on the Day of Judgment or the day you die? Nothing. Even this is why the believer should understand, وَبِالْ إِسْلَامِ دِينَ. I am pleased with Islam as my deen. Because no matter what situation the Muslim land is in, right? Weak state, maybe there's hardly getting any water into the tap, right? Electricity coming and going. Well, you don't find your medicine. This is some of the Muslim world, right? Where Muslims are living. But whoever has La ilaha illallah wa tawheed, I think you can't compare this to anything. I think you need to understand what it means, wa bil Islami deena. If I have Islam with me, and this is my citizenship, this is my identity, and Islam is my passport, doesn't matter where you are. Wallahi, you'll learn this lesson the day you die. You'll know how good this was. To have wabil Islami deenan in your heart before you left this worldly life. Allahu Akbar. Now, so how, my brothers and sisters in Islam, how can someone say, I am pleased with Islam as my deen, and then they go and they celebrate International Women's Day? How? Isn't Islam enough for you to teach you your rights and give you your honor and your worth and your status and your value and whatever you want? Even whoever says wabil Islami deenan and celebrates International Women's Day, there is deficiency in him accepting Islam and being pleased with it as a deen. How? How can someone say, I am pleased with Islam as my deen, and then he votes in a democratic system? How? Didn't Allah Azza wa Jal say, أَفَحُكْمَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ يَبْغُونَ? Allah Azza wa Jal called everything besides His law حكم الجاهلية, the legislation of ignorance. This is what He called it. Why would you put yourself in it? Why would you be pleased with it? And why would you participate in it? Why? Even the one who does so, there is deficiency in him being pleased with Islam as being a complete religion for himself. Now, and how do people say, وَبِالْ إِسْلَامِ دِينَا, I am pleased with Islam as my way of life, as my religion. And then he's impressed with the Western lifestyle and adopts it in his day and in his night. Gender reveal parties or baby showers or birthdays or Easter or Christmas or even the Eid, they made an Eid tree now. These are unique ones because they fuse between Islamic and Western. Huh? A tree, this is came from the West, Eid came from Islam. Or come on, the burkini, half of it came from Islam, or the kini side came from the West. Or what else is there? Hijab party, the party side came from here, well, hijab came from Islam. And these are much dangerous because these are a mockery. They are a mockery. How did you take an Islamic concept and mix it with a satanic concept? Ma'adallah. Right? But that's the idea is يدرس الإسلام, the Islam will fade away, and this is what we see. Now, and I tell you, يعني, a lot of the problem as well lies on the fact that we haven't been active in preaching al-Islam. Allah, this is one of the main reasons for why we are in the state we are in. Islam is not being preached correctly. We don't have patience in the same manner that the disbelievers have patience when they are preaching their falsehood. Allah Azza wa Jalla at the end of Surah Ali Imran, He said, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu sabiru wa sabiru. O you who believe, be patient and be patient. Sabir, isbiru, be patient. Sabiru also means be patient. But what is sabiru? What does it imply? What's it referring to? It refers to isbiru, meaning you be patient yourself. Sabiru means be patient upon the truth and teaching it, more than the patience of the disbelievers when preaching their falsehood and disbelief. وَصَابِرُوا وَرَابِطُوا وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ إِذَا رَضِيتُ بِالْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا. Islam is all about submission. Submitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in everything that He legislated. I tell you, my brothers and sisters in Islam, when you read these phrases in the morning and in the evening, wallahi, these are not only words that you say. These are words that must be coming from the heart and on your limbs. And they must be shown in your actions and in your words and in your dealings. وَبِالْ إِسْلَامِ دِينًا should be apparent in the way you dress. It should be apparent in what you eat, in what you drink, in how you walk, in how you do business, in the way you marry, in the way you divorce, in all aspects of your life. It should be coated and painted with Islam. As Allah Azza wa Jal, when He described Islam in the Quran, He said, صِبْغَةَ اللَّهِ. You know the ayah, Sibghat Allah? Has anyone heard Sibghat Allah? What does Sibghat Allah mean? Sibghat Allah means the religion of Allah. But religion, Deen Allah is the religion of Allah. What does Sibgha, how did Sibgha get translated to religion of Allah? You know, Sibghat Allah means Ilzamu Sibghat Allah. Commit to the religion of Allah. But Sibgha comes from the word Sabagha. Usabagha means to dye something. So you know when the bead is white and people dye it with a brown color, what happens? All the white is gone and it becomes what? Becomes brown. All, everywhere, up in everywhere. Sibghat Allah meaning cover yourself with Islam. Dye yourself with the teachings of Islam. There should be Islam in the way you cut your hair. There should be Islam in what you look and what you see. There should be Islam in how you speak and what you not speak. There should be Islam in what you hear and what you avoid. There should be Islam in your tongue as well. There should be Islam in your hands and in your feet. How you walk and how you deal. This is what Sibghat Allah implies. Cover. Dress your entire life with Islam. Final part, وَبِ مُحَمَّدٍ نَبِيًّا. And I am pleased with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as my prophet. Now, what does that mean? Allah Azza wa Jalla, He says, An-Nabiyyu awla bil mu'minina min anfusihim. That An-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has more right over the believers than they have right over themselves. That means if you indeed are pleased with Rasul Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as being your prophet, then you know what that means. First and foremost, it means that you have to love him more than you love yourself. If you say, I am pleased with him as my prophet, but you loved yourself more than him, there's deficiency in you being pleased with him as a prophet. You must love him more than yourself, as the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. And of course, why should you love him more than yourself? You know why? I give it to you through the story of Umar radiallahu anhu. Umar radiallahu anhu, he comes to the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one day, and he says to him, Ya Rasulullah, you are the most beloved to me, more beloved than anyone except myself. Umar is saying at the beginning, I love myself more than you, but I love you more than anyone else. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, that doesn't work. So then Umar radiallahu anhu walked away. I had a moment thinking, why? Why do I have to love him more than me? Then something clicked. He reflected. He said, one second, if it wasn't for the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where would I be today? In what shadows of misguidance would I be in? In what pit of the hellfire would I be thrown in? Either I have to love him more than I love myself. Because it is because of him, after Allah Azza wa Jal, that I am saved from misguidance and deviance, and I am saved from the hellfire. Then he went to him and said, Ya Rasulullah, I love you more than I love myself. Then he said to him, Al-Ana Ya Umar, now you have attained the complete Iman. Even this is what it means, that you are pleased with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as being your prophet. Also, it means that you must obey him before anyone else. You must follow him before you follow anyone else on TikTok and Facebook and wherever it is. You follow him practically in every aspect of his life. You follow him in how he was a father. You follow him in how he was a husband. You follow him in how he was a businessman. You follow him in how he was a leader. You follow him in every aspect of your life. This is the real following, not the fake following that the world taught us. Click a like, and then you just go scrolling through one thing after another between garbage and goodness. That's not true following. Now, وَبِمُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ نَبِيًّا. My brothers and sisters in Islam, also being pleased with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as your prophet means that you are content with all his commandments and all the prohibitions he taught us. With the way he lived, you're happy with that. With the decisions he took, you're pleased with that as well. Because there comes sects later on, begin to question certain things that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, right? Like the common garbage that is always coming up. And it's unfortunately affected Muslims when they speak about the age of Aisha radiallahu anha and her marriage. And that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam married her at the age of 6. And he consummated their marriage at the age of 9. Now I'm 100% authentic hadith, no problems. So if you are pleased with the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as your prophet, then you also need to be pleased with the decisions he made, because all his decisions were wahi from Allah azza wa jal. If you have problems with that narration, there is deficiency. If you reject it and you deny it, then perhaps this could be kufr. Wallahu alam, depends on how your heart is towards these ahadith. And you haven't truly accepted, embraced the fact that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is your prophet. Also, what it entails is that you must be pleased with the woman that he married. So, a Shia don't qualify for wabi Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a nabiya. When they say they are pleased with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a prophet, they're lying. They're lying. Because if they curse his wives and the companions, which he chose wives for himself, and he chose them as companions for him, if you reject them and hate them and curse them, and you don't believe in the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you're pleased with him, right? You have nothing to do with this. Even also, anyone who is pleased with the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as his prophet and messenger will only worship Allah with what Allah taught, and that way you avoid al-bid'ah and all innovations. Finally, we are concluding. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, whoever says this dhikr three times in the morning, three times in the evening, then Allah has made a promise upon himself that he will make this person pleased on the day of judgment. What does Allah please him with? How does Allah please him? By admitting him into the paradise, showering him with gifts and enjoyments of the paradise, allowing this person to see Allah Azza wa Jal on the day of judgment, and allows him to remain forever in the paradise. And there is no sickness in the paradise, no old age, no death, no worry, no stress, no pain, nothing of this. This is how Allah Azza wa Jal pleases this person in the afterlife. Now, and final matter, we said, and I emphasize it again here, Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah said, whoever combines between these three matters, he's pleased with Allah as his Lord, with Islam as his deen, with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as his prophet and messenger, then he is as-siddiq. He has reached the level of being a truthful person. And this level is right under the level of the prophets. And the chief of those is Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And I said to you, it is very easy to say these three phrases. And the most difficult thing is to implement them when you are tested and you are trialed in this worldly life. However, this should be the state of every believer, no matter what he goes through. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to instill within us true love for him subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that he make us pleased with Islam as our deen, and that he make us pleased, truly pleased with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as our prophet and messenger. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to accept from us, to forgive our sins and our shortcomings. Innahu waliyu dhalika wal qadiru alayhi. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.